Today, as we celebrate this feast of the most precious blood of Jesus, and we have the entire month actually is dedicated to the most precious blood of Jesus, we first have to ask ourselves why. And after all, just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated Corpus Christi. Where was the celebration of the body and blood of Jesus? So why do we have this separate celebration? Well, in Corpus Christi, we're celebrating the fact that our Lord is truly present in the most holy sacrament. He is present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. In this case, what we are celebrating is the fact that he has poured out his blood for us, which from a Jewish perspective means he has poured out his life for us, so that our sins could be forgiven, so that we could be redeemed, so that we can have life. That's the part that we have to look at, because we see that there are a number of things going on here all at the same time. For instance, we hear the point that it is consummated. Those are the last words of the Last Supper, well, of the Passover Supper, which the Last Supper was a Passover Supper. Remember that Jesus didn't finish the Passover Supper. Instead, he waited until that moment on the cross, when it was finally complete and he could say it was consummated. Well, that implies that everything that Passover is about is what our Lord was doing. So we see in Passover, of course, the sacrifice of the Lamb. And the blood of the Lamb is poured out, the blood of the Lamb is put upon the doorposts and the lintels so that the angel of death would pass by. And so that's exactly what we're looking at. The ultimate angel of death, Satan himself, has no power when you are sealed in the most precious blood of Jesus. At the same time, that point of it is consummated also goes back to creation, because it is exactly what God said when creation was complete. And so this is a new creation in the blood of Christ. A new creation because, as St. Paul made clear in the first reading, that all of the transgressions under the former covenant had been removed. There is a new beginning. And that's why St. Paul is so clear when he speaks of us and says, you are a new creation in Christ. Because the old order has been done away with and there is now a new order in Christ. But that new order comes through a covenant. And the covenant is always sealed in blood. And so if it weren't for the blood, there wouldn't be a covenant. It wouldn't be complete. You can make the agreement, but how is it sealed? And it is in the blood of our Lord. We see also then not only the Passover lamb that is sacrificed, but also the lamb for Yom Kippur, because that is the feast of the purifications and so on of all of the transgressions from the past year of the Jewish people. And the high priest had to bring the blood of the lamb into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle that on the altar that was there and sprinkle it onto the Ark of the Covenant that was there. And the rest would be poured out at the base of the altar, because that life is offered to God. But St. Paul makes clear, Jesus didn't go into the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem, the one made by human hands, but rather he went into the Holy of Holies that is heaven itself, the one that the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem was modeled after. Remember, Moses saw in vision the worship of heaven, and then he was told by God to make a tent, make a model, a tabernacle, based on what it was that he saw. So he modeled it after heaven. But Jesus entered into heaven itself, something that a high priest was not capable of doing, obviously, on earth. But Jesus is our high priest, and he is God, so therefore he took his blood, his human blood, into heaven. Again, this becomes very important because St. Paul makes clear in Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. Why? because bulls and goats didn't sin. And so he said, all they can do is cover it up. Our sins can only be taken away with human blood. But it's not even just human blood that we're talking about, because when we're talking about the removal of sin, that's something only God can do. And so it is human blood indeed, but it is the blood of God who took a human nature to himself. And so while indeed it is fully human blood, the blood in that way is not in any way, shape, or form divine, but nonetheless, it is the blood of a divine person who had a human nature. And so he poured out that blood for us, and now, being God, he is able to take his own blood into heaven, into the Holy of Holies of eternity. That's where he has brought his blood, not only therefore just to take away our sins, but to be able to do this eternally. That's why there is only one sacrifice for sin. The blood of Jesus continues to be poured out. We're not sacrificing him again at Mass. We don't pour out his blood again at Mass, but still, it continues and will continue till the end of time, but that sacrifice, that offering to our Heavenly Father continues for all eternity, because for those who will be redeemed, they are redeemed only in the most precious blood of Jesus. So all of this, so very important to be able to understand in the background as we consider why this feast is so important, why the church would even put aside an entire month to celebrate and to dedicate this to the most precious blood, which then when you look at all of that, you have to ask yourself, when they changed liturgy in 1970, they removed this feast entirely. It's not there anymore. It's an amazing thing. I mean, the feast is a relatively recent one. It was only begun back in the 1840s. It was elevated to the highest level of a feast in, I think it was 1934, but it was completely removed then in 1968. And so we still, amazingly, still have the entire month of July dedicated to the precious blood, but we remove the feast. It makes no sense. Unless you stop and ask yourself, why would they do that? Well, it's pretty obvious given everything I've already said, so I don't need to explain it any further. All you have to do is look at it that way and say, wait a minute, if what we're really looking at is our redemption, our salvation, the price of our redemption, the price of the blood of a spotless, unblemished lamb that's poured out so that his blood could be sprinkled upon our souls rather than on the doorposts of a house, so that the angel of death will pass over, Satan doesn't want this feast. Satan hates this feast with a passion. In fact, if you ask any exorcist, what is it that they do? They bind up the evil spirits in the most precious blood of Jesus. Satan can't handle this feast. That's why he wants it gone. He wants it erased. He wants people to forget about this. Because if Jesus is just our little buddy, that's cute, that's fun, and there's no salvation in it. Our salvation is only in the fact of the sacrifice of Jesus, the pouring out of his blood, and our souls being purified in his blood. But not just being purified, because again, remember the Jewish way of looking at things. The ancient Jews didn't have an understanding of the soul. They understood that the blood was the life. The life was contained in the blood. And so when the blood is poured out, that is the life that's being poured out. The life of Jesus is being given to us. Not just given for us, given to us. That's what we have. We are the children of God. We share his nature, we share his life. That's what Jesus has given to us. And so in the gospel, when we hear about the blood and water being poured out, have to remember when they would sacrifice the lambs for Passover, they had to bleed the animal. They had to get all the blood out. And after the animal was bled, the only place where any blood remained was in the heart. And so they would take a sword and they would pierce through the heart of the animal, now dead, but the animal's heart would be pierced so that the remaining blood would come out. So when you hear about that in the gospel, that's what's going on. That's the importance of that. It's also interesting that St. John talks about the blood and the water, because that wouldn't normally happen with the lamb. But it's also because medically that's exactly what would happen. They had no idea of that in the first century. It's not until just really in the last probably 50 to 100 years that medicine understood that that's what happens when, with all the trauma that he went through, that the water would be contained in that sac around the heart, and that when it would be pierced, the water and the blood would come out. The water and the blood signify the humanity and the divinity. They also signify baptism and Holy Eucharist. What is that for us? It's the covenant. It's the new life. It's what makes us children of God. It's what elevates us to a supernatural level of acting and being. That's what this is all about. So all these things that we can look at with our Lord, with the new creation, with the Passover lamb, with the lamb that's offered for the Day of Atonement, all these different things all happening simultaneously here, all that was done for you, so that everything that entailed is being applied to you and to your soul. So when the blood of Jesus is poured upon your soul, yes, you are purified of sin. Yes, you are made a new creation. Yes, everything is atoned, and now we begin anew. But the blood of Jesus is in heaven, and you are seated there already. So all of this, from beginning to end, we have to recognize the importance and the glory of what God is doing. And then we understand why this feast is so important and why Satan hates it so much. And so for us, it's to be able to accept these truths, to apply them to ourselves, and to allow ourselves not only to be forgiven, but to be renewed, remade, regenerated in the blood of Jesus.